Galatians 2.
Galatians?
Ooh, my favorite chapter ever.
It's before Philemon. Well, that was Timothy that we raised her.
No.
We never did.
Look, she's feeling
well. We're taking.
I knew when we were studying Timothy.
It struck me while I was on the trip that I hadn't talked about the basic fundamental point, the horizon upon which everything else is based in Christianity. He didn't come to heal people. He didn't come to fill people with the Holy Spirit. Didn't come to redeem people. Didn't come to make drunks sober or drug addicts clean. He came for one singular purpose, to make dead men live. And until you recognize you're a dead man, you can never forgive yourself, you can never forgive others, and you will not understand at all. You'll hear the words, but it'll just be a philosophy. Amen?
That's true.
All right. Verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. Now you got to remember, the word law here is nomos. It doesn't just mean the Torah. It means, it's called the way a thing works. The law is spiritual. It reveals the spiritual reality in Jesus Christ. You're not justified by the way a thing works in any way, i.e., you're not a cause and effect is the biggie. All right, so no man is justified by the works of the law. But by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. Now that transition from in Christ to of Christ can only come at the destruction of your idolatry. And that's what we start studying this weekend in Tammuz. The period between Tammuz to Ab, 21 days between the straits, its purpose is to the destruction of all idolatry. It ends at Ab, in which there is no stone left standing of your Jerusalem up here in your head that now is. Everything that you've depended on, every idea that you've based your life on, every image of what you think you should be, every family value, everything has to be destroyed from Tammuz to Ab. Then you can be justified by the faith of Christ. You start out believing in Him, but you still have all these stupid idols. The purpose of this period now between Tammuz and Ab is the destruction of all remaining idolatry. And it's going to be rough again. What?
Oh, I think even devils believe in Him.
Right.
Anybody can believe in Him. Believe in Him, but this walking through that door, Tammuz, to get to Ab, to believe.
Faith of Him.
Of Him, that's huge.
Amen.
And the idols ain't gonna like it.
Great. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. And this is the next one. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. If in any way you let yourself be resurrected, and you leave the mercy seat, you leave the faith of Christ, you forget that you're dead, then you start. It's like beginning all over again. For if you If I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. Everybody understand that? This is where we get rid of all philosophy. You know I love philosophy. All right, now the next few verses were the crystalline point in after my conversion. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, that little phrase, yet not I, was the trigger point for me for years, in which it every time something happened, every time there was an issue, it was always yet not I. And therefore repentance became easy. Repentance became as natural as breathing. Amen? What?
Oh, just in trying to phrase that idea, it's like repentance. It happens. It's almost, it's like not, you don't do it. It happens because you see something so clear. And it would be more like having to do something to not repent. You have to spring.
Yeah. Before it happens where there's... It's unusual during the day if you think of this. And you walk around, you forget it because some issue happened. Somebody made you mad. You forget it. But after this, when you finally see, yet not I, then repentance is what you walk in. And it's rare in which you ever come back to the flesh. Okay?
It's a great scripture. It's a constant reminder.
I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, therein is his love, because his love is now manifested in Christ, because it's faith of Christ. It's not sloppy agape. Just, oh, God loves everybody, and blah, blah, blah. All right. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness came by the way a thing works, or the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Most people, when they study the book of Galatians, they say it was written because some of the Jews had returned to the law. It's not true. I mean, then it would have no meaning to us except historicity. It's when you return to the law, when you return to cause and effect, when you refuse to wait on him, because, oh, I've got to do something, I've got to fix this, I've got to do something. O foolish Galatians, O foolish Trinity people, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you: received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it yet be in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doth he do it by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham. Now, this sort of wipes out the dispensationalists, that God is acting differently at different times, Gary.
It just looks that way.
So then, they which be of faith are blessed with the faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Christ did not come to abolish the law, he came to fulfill it. And each of the feasts, it was fulfilled. Remember that we've talked before many times about today is Passover, today is Tammuz, it's all things in the Spirit happen at once. There's no progression of time because you've redeemed the time. And it's always been true, all the way back to Abel. And before we, in creations we don't even know about. It's the same mystery, always, at every juncture of time. From God's perspective, which you must have, all things occur at the same time. There is no more excuse for you to be justified by saying, oh, I'm a new believer, blah, blah, blah. No. Amen?
God is not evolving.
Yeah, that's a good point. The evangelical Christians are running around screaming and trying to get textbooks revised, blah, 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 because they don't want the kids to be subject to evolution. And yet they preach spiritual evolution. What you're consciously against, you're always subject to. Amen?
Yeah.
What? You're doing it again, Gary. Well, you can smell the oil burning and the gears working in his head. It's not a nice smell.
Apparently you like it.
Huh?
Apparently you like it.
I like it.
But can you keep smelling it?
It's not. Because why do you think I pointed out? Because I don't like it. What's going on?
All right. Somehow it fits in here. While I was on vacation, I was thinking that hell is really heaven, but all the people you don't like are there. Everybody you said you forgive them, but you didn't really forgive them. And you're in heaven, and yet you can't be in heaven because you didn't really forgive. And it pertains to idolatries too.
All right, whatever floats your boat. Let's go to Matthew 18.
Abraham, Matthew back pocket. Matthew what?
Matthew 18.
Yeah.
Start in verse 15.
Where do we go?
Matthew 18. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee. Now, if you've been here very long, you know that against thee is not in the text. If thy brother shall trespass, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. And if he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. If that didn't work, you should go and talk about it to everybody that you... blah, blah, blah. No. I was making up what most people do. If somebody is caught in a fault, everybody talks about it.
It's like we had a heaven and hell speech, and then all of a sudden.
Well, you'll find out in a minute.
I can't wait.
But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. Now that's not something that's optional. That's what happens. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever ye shall loose in earth on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now, that pertains to what Gary was talking about.
Absolutely.
If you hold someone in unforgiveness, then you are binding him. Now, you've got to see just a teeny tiny bit of this mystery of the kingdom of God and the power that therein is. Your hard-headedness is holding that person, binding him. But if you loose him, then he shall be loosed in heaven. Now this is the everybody says, well, I'm binding and loosing. If you listen to these guys, they're binding and loosing everything. No, it only applies to what this is about. Forgiveness.
Because you're bound also.
All right. If you can't forgive everyone from the heart, that means you're a deep doo-doo. But the person that you have not forgiven is bound. Now, if you have the opportunity, you tell them. But that's not the issue. The issue is, spiritually, that you have loosed him
right.
Because you have forgiven
right.
him or her.
Amen.
All right. That's
it's amazing how the gospel, it's always stated in so many places how, you know, die to yourself, all this other stuff is said about you. But even in every situation, you're always affecting someone else in anything and everything.
Amen.
At any point in time, you bring yourself to picture.
Yeah.
At any point in time.
All right. Let's go to Hebrews 2. No, let's go to Hebrews 3. The whole I want you to there's a in spiritual or in biblical exegesis, if something is mentioned once, it should be real. You should pay attention to it. But if something is mentioned over and over and over again, you cannot it's like grab this, get a hold of it. So watch. Verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation in the wilderness. In the day of temptation in the wilderness. Oh, it says that. When your fathers tested me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years, wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their heart, and have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, albeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them which heard it, or that heard it. Now, this thing about today, there's only one day, today, and we've been in the night of today since the cross. Now, Peter says, take heed as to the light shining in the dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. We studied in Romans over and over and in Thessalonians and Peter about we are in the night. It's not, it doesn't look like night, but from God's standpoint, we are in the night that started at his crucifixion. So it's today, while it is still called today, harden not your hearts. Now, you remember, there was as many as, there was, I don't remember what the word, 600,000 or some of males, and all of the kids, and all of the wives, and all of the mixed multitude with them. It could have been as many as 2 or 3 million people that came out of Egypt. Guess how many entered into the promised land? Two. Caleb and Joshua. Joshua, the type of Christ, and Caleb was the friend of the bridegroom. So today, while it's still called today, now watch what happens.
Isn't what you said that's the best we can hope for?
Yeah, the flesh, the best the flesh can be is the friend of the bridegroom. All right, watch now. In verse 2, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Now, in that, from Hebrews 3:7 unto here, look at how many times today was mentioned. It's amazing. For if Jesus, Joshua, had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Now, just a minute.
You go first.
The seventh day, God rested from all his works on the seventh day. The seventh day is not a day any longer. The seventh day, or the Sabbath, is a person. And we enter into his rest by entering into him. And as we've entered into him, then we have ceased from our own labors, because the night has come when no man can work. And so all of our ideas, all of the inventions, everything is just an attempt to flee the revelation of Christ in us and in all men.
laboring into the rest.
You labor because it, the laboring is because you are hardwired, your mind is hardwired to labor towards self-realization.
Right.
So you labor then to repent at every time.
Okay.
You, so that's what the laboring to enter into the rest means.
Okay.
This is Tammuz.
Amen.
Because it's during that time that you're confronting these issues.
Well, even in deals that people are dealing with, issues that people are dealing with.
Yeah,
smoking.
It's every day.
Yeah. If you can, the psychologists even recognize that if you, 21 days is what it takes to break a habit, so it no longer has any control over you. And so that's the between the straits. That's what happens between Tammuz and Ab. The wall is breached, the wall of Jerusalem in two times in history was breached on the fast of Tammuz, on the 17th of the month of Tammuz. Then the month following, on the 9th of Ab, 21 days later, in both times in history, the temple was destroyed. And I urge you to read the Tammuz and Ab memos. They're on the website. And to see its relationship to you in idolatry, to you in habits, to you in whatever's going on in you. And see this 21 days. It's called being between the straits in the Book of Lamentation. Now remember, the Megillah was so important. The Megillah are the five scrolls, they call them, and they're called the Megillah. And the Megillah was considered to be so important that even the work in the temple stopped during the time of the reading of the Megillah, so that everyone would hear. So the first book or scroll of the Megillah was Esther. That's read exactly 1 month before Passover. And it shows the work of God. Remember, God is not mentioned in Esther. It shows the work of God in all of creation without us knowing it. Then on the intervening Sabbath of the 8 days of the Feast of Passover, the next book of the Megillah is read, and that is the Song of Solomon. That's when the Israel is betrothed to God as the bride. Then you go on, and the next Megillah, the next book, is Ruth. And that's read on the Feast of Pentecost, because therein is the bride empowered or given the ability to become the bride. Then in the next book of the Megillah is Lamentations. And it is read on the Fast of Ab, where one stone is not left standing. It puts the certification on the 21 days. The Fast of Ab finishes it. The last book in the Megillah is read on the seventh day of the Feast of Tabernacles, the evening of the seventh day, because you cannot enter into the eighth day, which is the marriage supper of the Lamb, unless you've been apprehended by the Feast of, by the book of Ecclesiastes. So it's Esther, Song of Solomon, Ruth, Lamentations, Ecclesiastes, the five books of the Megillah. And that's what they call the whole, that's where we get the whole Megillah. Because all of the mystery of God, if you have ears to hear and eyes to see, is manifested in those five books. Amen? Anybody have anything else? Miss Joyce Anna. Your silence is a witness against you.
Right.
Take it, big guy.
Hey, this translation is...
Throw it away.
It shouldn't be in here.
Throw it away.